Well into my 20s, I suffered from excruciating period symptoms. That's why I was of the impression that I'd be able to handle the pain of childbirth. Wrong. Warm water slides down my body as invisible hands reach into my belly. They wring my intestines until I grip my teeth so hard, my jaw aches. My hands tighten around my middle, and I fold forward to try and minimize the torture. But the pain only gets worse, tormenting my entire body. Tears drip from my eyes, washing down the drain with the soapy shower water and the liquid that gushed out of me only a few seconds ago. Another ball of pain rolls through me and crashes in the center of my stomach. This one brings me to my knees. My worst nightmare is about to come true. Some pregnant women dread having their water break in public places. I wouldn't have minded that at all, since there would be many people around to offer their assistance. Someone would call 911. Since the day I found out I was pregnant, I've been terrified of being trapped in a place where no one could reach me, like an elevator, and having to give birth alone. Now, here I am, alone and terrified. It's 10 o'clock p.m., and my husband, Andrew, has gone out to get me my favorite mint ice cream, minutes after I mentioned that I was craving it. I told him not to go, that I could wait till morning, but he insisted. Apparently, according to him, the mother of his child should have everything she needs whenever she needs it. He kissed me on the forehead and left the house without bothering to change out of his pajamas. I inhale deeply and exhale slowly, rubbing my slick and swollen stomach with my palm. It's fine. Everything will be all right. Barry's scoop is only a 10-minute drive from our house. He'll be back soon to drive me to the hospital. If I could, I'd call for help myself, but I'm too weak and pain-ridden to even crawl out of the shower. The contractions start again, pain searing through my body. Gritting my teeth is no longer enough. I'm screaming now. I blame myself. I shouldn't have told Andrew that I craved ice cream. Deep down, I knew he would go and get it for me. What if he doesn't make it back in time? What if I end up having to give birth to my child on my own and something goes wrong? I almost cry with relief when the contractions subside, as though a switch has been flicked to give me a chance to breathe. I know it's only a matter of time before the pain returns, so I crawl out of the shower and manage to make it to the bedroom, leaving a trail of liquid behind me. My phone is on my nightstand. My fingers tremble as I reach for it and dial Andrew's number. He doesn't pick up. I try again, same result. I can feel it again, the pain warming my lower back, a silent warning that I should prepare myself for the next storm. The next person I call is Anita Stark. I've been in Sartan, California for 7 years now, and she's the only person I can call my friend. She also happens to be our neighbor. Anita doesn't know much about the events that drove me from Oakney to Sartan, and she never pushes me to speak about things that are uncomfortable for me. Even though she doesn't know everything about me, our friendship works. She doesn't pick up either. Maybe she's already in bed. Before another cramp strikes, I dial 911. Help me, I croak when my call is answered. I'm in labor. The soft-spoken woman on the other end of the line tries to calm me down, asking me endless questions. The only answer I give her is my address. I don't have enough strength in me to say more. I drop the phone to the floor and hug my cold, wet body tight, as if this way I can prevent the pain from breaking me. The woman on the phone continues to speak, but her voice is faint. I know what she's doing. She's promising me that the paramedics will be here soon. She's trying to comfort me. I am beyond comforting at this point. Since Andrew is closer to the house and it's been at least half an hour since he left, I expect him to arrive before the paramedics. It doesn't happen that way. When ambulance sirens break the silence, I'm relieved, but also terrified that my husband will not be able to experience the birth of our child. The way I feel, I'm not even sure I'll make it to the hospital before the baby arrives. The doorbell rings downstairs, but I can't move, not yet. Not before the pain releases me from its clutches. Finally, I drag myself to my feet, grabbing a bathrobe on the way out the bedroom door. I don't even know why I need to cover myself up. In a few minutes, strangers will see me naked. I make it down the stairs, one step at a time, one breath at a time, praying that the pain will not strike again before I reach the last step. My prayer is answered. I'm panting and sweating when I open the front door. That's when another wave washes over me worse than the one before. But this time, I fall into the arms of the paramedics. I'm safe. My baby is safe.